Humans have been enjoying wine for 8,000 years or more, and there's never been entry exams, literacy tests, diplomas, or membership fees. You can go as far or deep as you want, or just take it all in and find your happy place. That being said, we like to spend our week looking for things that we can share with you in this space and time. We'll give you food for thought, ideas for adventures, and most weeks, tips, pointers, and insights that you can use the minute the program ends. Wine has always united us. It still does. And we've never needed that more. So climb aboard. There is no time like the present to get your adventure started. So here's your host, the Doctor of Deliciousness, the Chairman of the Bordeaux, the Top Gun of Wine Fun, David Wilson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting here and I have my wetsuit on, my snorkel and mask and swim fins, because I want to dive into today's subject as quickly as possible. I've got so much territory to cover today. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for a really long time, so I want to cut to the chase and talk to you about a subject that is integral to the Grape Encounters conversation, but really doesn't get nearly as much airtime as I think it should. And you want to know the biggest reason why I think this topic needs a lot more attention? It's because, you know, I really believe strongly that where food is concerned, we are very much living in the dark ages. And I think for so many people, what they do in the kitchen has become incredibly stagnant. And it is shocking to me that we live in a time where technology is taking us to places that we never dreamed it would take us. Every single day, practically every minute of every hour, somebody is talking about artificial intelligence. And I find the subject totally fascinating. I use it in a lot of ways. I also understand its danger, but it's amazing where this technology has gone. At the same time, I'm equally fascinated by our exploration of space and how private companies are building all kinds of spacecraft, and they are going places and doing things that we never imagined that private industry would take us to. So we have evolved so very far in the past 15 years, even in the past 2 or 3 years. But where food is concerned, I really totally believe we are stuck. And it really bothers me. So there are a lot of things I really want to talk to you about. We are on the cusp of one of those eating holidays. Easter is upon us, and no matter what you celebrate or why you celebrate Easter, a lot of people will eat very traditional foods. And when these kinds of holidays approach, I always like to share some, you know, alternative thinking with you, because we do get stuck in a rut. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. But the other thing is just how much I deal with on a weekly basis. People who are so close-minded, people who are so unevolved where food is concerned, people who are doing the same thing over and over and over again. And you know what? If you love Aunt Pat's broccoli casserole, God bless you. If you look forward to the holiday when she brings it in a Pyrex dish, good for you. But I'm a person who likes to invent in the kitchen, and every opportunity to create a meal is like having a blank canvas in front of me, and I would just die if I had to just make the same recipes over and over and over again. But you know, one of the things that's been a real eye-opener about living in Italy is that people here, especially when you get into the rural areas, are so incredibly close-minded where food is concerned. I almost become violent. No, not really. But it's like they don't want to talk about anything that is not the same traditional regional foods that they grew up with and that they will continue to eat for the rest of their lives, and they will thumb their nose at almost anything else. So I want to tell you a story about something that happened yesterday. I went into a little market that I love. It's a very small place. It couldn't be more than about 500 square feet. It is run by these delightful people. It has a surprisingly large amount of product on the shelves, but believe me, it's definitely not a Whole Foods. Anyway, this fellow walks in. He's an older man, and he's a doctor here in my community. And it just so happens that my very best friend here in Atri, Italy, works for him. And I know him a little bit. We've had some conversations. He speaks very poor English, so I don't even know if I can call them conversations. But he is looking down in my arms, and I have probably like about 10 things that I'm taking up to the counter. They don't give you a basket there, by the way. You just have to load it into your arms. When you have too many things in your arms, they'll walk over and take a few things away. But anyway, he looks at what's in my arms, and he says to me, I think what he said was, what do you like to cook? And I looked back at him and I said, well, you know, my favorite thing to cook with these days is I like to use, I was going to say Instant Pot, but then I said pressure cooker because I figured that he would understand that better than a term for an appliance that isn't sold by that name here in Italy. But anyway, he kind of looked at me puzzled, and then I made a sound effect. Psh! Oh, he immediately flipped out. He's like, no, David, no, is no good, is not good. And then he said something else, and I didn't understand what he said, so I turned to a young woman there who speaks much better English. Her name is Deborah. I says, Deborah, what did the doctor say? And she said, he said that cooking with pressure is no good because it takes all of the flavor out of the food. And I just became offended and I said, no, it's not true. The pressure cooker actually pushes flavor into the food. It is exactly the opposite. She tells him, he protests, and we're having this polite disagreement in the middle of this market where a handful of other people are wanting to be helped. It was a really delightful conversation, but it underscored the frustration that I have not just here in Italy, but even with the people that are my friends, the people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. There are just so many Americans who are stuck in a terrible rut, and I will talk to them about new things that I'm trying, new tools that I'm using. And I do the same thing with this wine show, is I talk about foods that are not on the traditional food pairing list, and it's just lost on people. So I am going to get real deep into this topic and talk a lot about how I really think that you should rethink what you do in the kitchen. I want you to rethink what goes on in your kitchen, because you, my friends, are missing out. Not all of you. There are loads of you who are very, very enlightened where food is concerned, but there are a lot of you who are being left behind, and you are probably the same people who are saying, I don't want anything to do with artificial intelligence. Why are we sending people into space? Well, artificial intelligence doesn't have to be part of your life, but food certainly does. And you can have a lot more fun with food and get a lot more enjoyment out of it. And you can put together much better relationships between food and wine if you listen to what I have to say. So let's take a quick break here and we'll come back and just plow into this topic. And I know that we're going to be talking about this in weeks to come as well, because there's so much to say about it. Don't miss a word of it. We'll be right back. Today's episode of Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by Total Wine and More, where you'll always find what you love and love what you find. At Total Wine & More, you'll find so many great bottles to choose from at the lowest price. So finding your favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay is a cinch. But if you're more of a whiskey drinker, one of their single barrel bourbons is sure to please. With a little help from one of their friendly guides, you're certain to find the perfect bottle that's just right for you. And if you're hosting friends or family and don't have time to shop in store, that's yet another reason to love Total Wine & More. Because nobody makes it easier to get everything you need for any occasion with curbside pickup and delivery. And every bottle comes with the confidence of knowing you just found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Did you know that there are machines that can take food from the farm to your fork without even being touched by human hands? Maybe someday they'll create a machine that will even chew it for you. At MM Organics in California's stunning Central Coast foothills, they bring their products to market using some impressive horsepower of their own. Two gorgeous horses who help tend the land the old-fashioned way. The result is an ensemble of delicious organic port-style dessert wines and certified organic walnut products made entirely by hand. Crafted from the same Portuguese varietals used to make world-class port, MM Organics two-horse dessert wines have been aging to perfection for 14 years and now are on sale at a price that's mighty nice. Equally awesome is MM Organics' wide selection of organic heirloom walnut products, from fair trade dark chocolate-covered walnuts to incomparable walnut oil, irresistible sprouted walnuts in several amazing flavors, and shelled walnuts as rich and creamy as pricey macadamia nuts. Order online and learn more about their dedication to purity and perfection at mmorganics.com. That's mmorganics.com. All right, back with Grape Encounters Radio. And, you know, I feel like I just have to do an intervention with the American people because we truly are in the dark ages where cooking is concerned. Things have changed so much. And I know you're probably saying, David, what's the big deal? The big deal is cooking is such a core skill. One of the most exciting and important things that you should be able to do. But if you don't believe that we should be sounding the alarm, then you probably will change your tune after you hear some of the stats I'm going to throw at you. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you about something that happened last night. I was getting ready to go to bed and I couldn't sleep. I grabbed my cell phone and I went over to YouTube, started watching some videos. And I happened upon this video of this older couple from somewhere in the South. I say that because they had very strong accents. And they were doing a cooking video. They were going to teach us how to make the perfect lasagna. Now, this was just such a strange video because there was a camera that was focused on a woman that was across the kitchen messing around at the stove. And then the guy who was doing most of the cooking, and it was just sort of shooting up at his chin. But anyway, he kept referring to the woman as mama. And I thought, he looks too old for her to be his mama. It's just what I guess he calls his wife. And he referred to her as mama about 100 times during the video. Every sentence started with mama. Mama, what you got going on over there? Mama is the best lasagna maker in the whole world. Mama is the queen of lasagna. Anyway, So this video goes on for 25 minutes, and in that 25-minute time period, you see her boil the noodles. That's fine. Okay. And then she takes some ground beef and pours a bottle of pre-made pasta sauce of some sort into the ground beef and grabs a bag of pre-shredded cheese from the refrigerator. And that, my folks, is all of the ingredients that went into the lasagna. Now, hopefully, if you're a good lasagna maker yourself, you know there's generally ricotta cheese in there. eggs, let's see, Parmesan cheese, hopefully spices and some other ingredients perhaps that you use to personalize your lasagna. But basically, she just laid out the noodles and poured what amounts to a sloppy Joe mixture on top, some cheese, and then another layer or two, and that was it. And why does this bother me so much? It bothers me because this is the kind of stuff that you see every day on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram. It's just horrible that people think that is cooking, that you grab pre-grated cheese, and it's probably processed cheese, and bottled sauce, which is never good, or rarely good, I should say, and that's it, and you're done, and you are now qualified to teach the world how to cook. And you know what? That is about how good a large percentage of the population does cook. And you know the scariest part of this whole story? It's that they had thousands of views on this video. Now, I'm hopeful that it's just because people found it funny and entertaining in a sick sort of way, but I don't think that's the case. All right, I want to share some numbers with you that hopefully will have you seeing why I feel that this is such a serious situation that's going on in this country right now. This, according to People magazine, they say that Americans have hit their tipping point in the kitchen. Nearly half feel drained thinking about prepping their next meal. 2,000 Americans surveyed shared how their relationship with cooking has evolved since 2020, finding that people want to spend less than 25 minutes on a meal from prep to ready time. 39% of Americans say that their patience in the kitchen is at an all-time low. A survey conducted by OnePoll on behalf of Home Chef showed that 45% of Americans are too busy to cook. Ideally, most people, 82% in fact, would like to use less than 6 pieces of cookware to prepare a meal, and 55% say that they ended up using more than that. People magazine says that 51% of people are experiencing fatigue from making the same recipes repeatedly, and that they cook the same meal every week 71% of the time. Oh my gosh, look online. There's 100 million recipes there. Holy smoke. Shockingly, more than half of people, 55%, turn to meal kits, and nearly one-third, 29%, use heat and eat meals to cut down on cooking time. Holy smoke. 55% say they're likely to use them on Fridays mostly because people apparently don't like to cook on Friday. I want to jump over to some really interesting information that Instacart put together. They say, not surprisingly, that the microwave is the most commonly used cooking appliance in the kitchen. And you know what the most commonly made food is? It's Mexican food. It's the most popular food made in America. And it's not surprising because every component for Mexican food you can buy in a jar, a can, or a package. You've got pre-grated cheese, you've got the sauce in a can or a bottle, guacamole in a plastic container, tortillas, no challenge there. Of course, Mexican food is most popular. And as far as meat is concerned, this one actually blows my mind. American consumers eat 264 pounds of meat per person per year on average. We are getting darn close to a pound of meat per person per day. And by the way, who's cooking that? Just a couple of years ago, women cooked 9.2 total meals per week compared to men who cooked less than 5 meals. No surprise there, right? We are moving at lightning speed toward a place in human history where people mostly won't be able to cook or prepare their own meals. And for a species that is deeply concerned about what goes in your body, you're going to be dependent upon other people in factories deciding what you're going to eat, and you're not going to be able to navigate your way around the ingredient panel. Okay, so just how much are things changing? Let's start with the baby boomers. According to a survey by Morning Consult from about a year ago, they surveyed each generation asking how many make a meal from scratch each Sunday. 70% of baby boomers, good for you, said that they make a scratch meal every Sunday, compared to 64% of Gen Xers. Now, when you jump down to the millennials, it's only 50%, just half. And then Gen Z, it drops another 10% to just 40%. And the reason they're asking about Sunday is because it's the single most popular day of the week to cook at home. And here's a really crazy factoid. Even though more and more people are dropping out of kitchen duty, in the United States, food waste is estimated at between 30 to 40% of the food supply. The average American spends $1,300 per year on food that ends up unused and tossed out. We're not talking about the average family, the average American. That's why I think it is so important for me to share the things I'm going to share with you. I'm going to turn you on to tools and strategies that I have switched over to because I too am a busy person, but I'm not wasting food anymore. I'm making much better tasting food. I've turned kitchen cleanup into a non-issue because I only dirty one or two or three things at best. And I am spending only about 25% of the amount of time making much better meals. I really have turned a corner for myself. I want to share this information with you. Hopefully it will help. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
At Bar Dog, we believe that every dog deserves a life of unconditional love. That's why we've teamed up with Pet Finder Foundation to establish the Bar Dog Operations Grant. Money from this grant goes to rescue shelters across North America and helps save animals awaiting their forever homes. Visit bardogwine.com to find a bottle near you and help Bar Dog give back. Bar Dog, wine for humans, love for dogs.
At every family gathering, my brother Steve and I each bring several bottles of wines and try to one-up each other. I bring wines from all over. Steve only brings wines from California's Mendocino wine country, where he's lived for decades. And even though there are hundreds of great wineries there he could choose from, he mostly brings wines from the Graziano family of wines. Now, you'd think you'd see a lot of duplicates from past gatherings since most producers only make 6 to 12 wines, but Graziano has 5 brands that make literally dozens, upwards of 30 mostly Italian varietals, and all rock stars. Made by the real rock star, Greg Graziano. You can hear my recent interview with Greg at GrapeEncounters.com, and you can find Graziano wines all over America or buy them online at GrazianoFamilyOfWines.com. I've never confessed how much I love Graziano wines to my brother, and let's keep it that way. Always find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from at the lowest price, it's easy to find your favorite Cabernet or a new single barrel bourbon to try with some help from one of their friendly guides. And with every bottle comes the confidence of knowing you just found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21.
All right, so I wouldn't blame you if you thought I was being paid by the manufacturers of some of these what I will call new age appliances, but I can assure you that is absolutely not the case. The reality is I was starting to get a little bored with my own cooking. I have always been in search of ways to get more flavor into my food, and now there is almost nothing that I used to use to cook with that I use today, and I'm talking about the oven. I seldom use it, pots and pans. I never take them out of the cupboard. I use almost exclusively the Instant Pot, the panini press, especially the kind that is flat on one side and has ridges on the other side, because those ridges are great at getting char marks on your food, especially your meats, of course. And then there is the piece de la resistance, which is the sous vide device. And if you don't know what that is, you're not alone. Most people are not familiar with this. I think it's the single best way to cook food, and it's the cleanest way. And basically, it looks like a large aquarium thermometer, and it clamps on to the side of, I use a big stock pot, and you put water in the stock pot. You then take your food and seasonings and you put it into a heavy-duty bag. You have to buy one of those food sealers. And those are absolutely fantastic. And they're not that expensive. You can get them for between $50 and $100. But believe me, it's well worth the investment. And I also use it to seal all of my leftovers. And believe me, they remain perfect for many months. But anyway, you put all of this into the bag, you drop it into the pot, and then you set the temperature and the time, and you walk away. And what it does is it cooks food at a very low temperature, but it's a very consistent temperature. And so if you want the absolute most perfectly pink filet mignon, you can do that by dialing in, I think, the temperature of 155 degrees. I think is perfect, but you can look at a chart and whatever temperature, whatever color you want your meat, you can dial it in. And what's amazing is the pink, let's say, for medium rare will be pink all the way through from the outside to the middle. So it's not well done on the outside and pink in the middle. It's perfectly pink all the way through. Now, it takes longer to cook this way. It may take four times longer, sometimes even longer than that, but it is very quiet. You can run something overnight if you've got a really, really super tough meat. It's fine. It'll be fall off the bone tender when it's finally done, and it will be absolutely perfect. What I love about this device is that it truly forces the seasoning and flavor into the food instead of extracting it like when you boil it or you fry it or even when you bake it in the oven and it all drips down to the bottom of the pan. It's an absolutely marvelous way to cook. The Instant Pot is exactly the same way. It is not something that is sucking the flavor out of the food. It's under pressure. It depends what setting you use, but I like to use the pressure cooker, and it's forcing the flavor into the food. Why is all of this so important to me? I'll tell you. Because more and more sommeliers are saying that it's more important than anything else to pair your wine with the intensity of what you're going to be eating. And I don't want washed out food. I don't want food where the flavor all winds up as part of the liquid in the kettle that I'm going to throw down the sink. I want as much flavor as I can possibly have. I want the food to be as true to its potential as it can possibly be. I want the meats to have as much juice in them as is possible. It's easier for me to pair wines that way. It's easier for me to understand what the flavor is going to end up tasting like because whatever it was that I put in the sous vide bag or in the Instant Pot in terms of liquids, in terms of spices, is going to remain relatively the same in the way that it flavors the food. It's just a great way to cook. But there are other advantages too. The first advantage is speed. Now, granted, the sous vide device takes a long time, but literally you can throw things into the bag when you're leaving for work, and depending upon what it is that you're cooking, you can just walk away from it because it's very safe. You know, it certainly doesn't get to boiling. You never want to boil the food. And the sous vide devices have timers on them, so you don't really have to worry about something overcooking. The second thing is that it's so much cleaner. I don't think there's any cleaner way to cook than sous vide. The second cleanest thing to cook with is the Instant Pot because everything is in this deep kettle and you're not splashing stuff all over the sink. Most people use the Instant Pot not just to cook the food in, but to sear the meat that's going to be in the pot, to brown the vegetables a little bit. It's absolutely a perfect replacement for a skillet. And it absolutely is impervious to food sticking to it. It just doesn't. And so you can literally take your food out of it and go over to the sink, add a little suds to it, and it's clean in a matter of seconds. There's just so much less cleanup. There's so much faster cooking time. There's so much more flavor that is imparted into your food. These are game changers. And, you know, if you have resisted using some of this, and I hate to call it technology, but it's real low tech, really. And I know that there are a series of buttons on some of these devices, and you can hit the presets for whatever it is you're planning on cooking. I rarely use those, quite honestly. I use the manual settings, and so I can set the time and the temperature, and that's it. But for people who are trying to manage their time, this is a great way for you to cook. And then there's the fourth thing, which is expense. You can cook much less quality meat in an Instant Pot, and it will come out so incredibly tender. Same is true for the sous vide device. The meat is so tender. You can take the absolute toughest, cheapest roast, put it in an Instant Pot, cook it for whatever time they recommend, and you'll find all these recommended times online. And voila, you are done. The advantages are many. Cheaper, faster, cleaner. It really doesn't get any better than that. And you know how much work it is to clean a pan that has food stuck badly to it or baking dishes. I don't use any of these things anymore. I honestly don't. Now, some people who are familiar with the George Foreman style grills or panini press will say, oh, but David, no, the food sticks to it terribly, and you got to take those metal plates out and scrub them. Yeah, that's true, except I don't do that. Here's a wonderful tip for you. I just buy rolls of parchment paper. I take my food and I wrap it in parchment paper before I put it on the grill, and that way nothing sticks to the grill. And yes, the food browns through the parchment paper perfectly. Some parchment papers will burn a bit, and I've found that you want to use a better quality parchment paper. It's not going to burn. And by the way, I use parchment paper for absolutely everything in the oven. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that I cook in the oven that doesn't have parchment paper underneath it. It's just a wonderful product. It's a couple of dollars a roll. It lasts practically forever, and it's a great clean way to cook. So those are just appliances that I love. A couple of other things I want to mention is I really believe in investing in a really good blender. I really believe in owning an immersion blender, which is the one that's basically a handle that you dip down into a container to churn things up, because those do an absolutely wonderful, stellar job. I definitely use an electric chopper. And one of my favorite devices is an electric Parmesan cheese grater. And the reason for that is because I use Parmesan cheese on so many things. I use it to substitute for salt, because you get the saltiness, but you also get this lovely flavor. Now, obviously, that flavor is not compatible with everything, but for so many things, it's absolutely delicious. So instead of salting, I just have my little electric hand grater. They have some wonderful kinds that you crank as well. They make them in stainless steel. That's definitely what you want to get. Do not buy a plastic hand Parmesan cheese grater. It's just junk. It'll be broken before you know it. Okay, so we're going to be back in just a second. And when I come back, I want to talk about your Easter meal just a little bit and offer just a couple of suggestions that might make time around the table a little bit more pleasant, at least in terms of what you put in your mouth. Although these days, with politics and the world the way it is, we tend mostly to put our foots in our mouth. I certainly do. I'll be back right after this.
When it comes to delicious walnuts and dessert wines, MM Organics doesn't horse around. They do, however, use beautiful workhorses to help tend the land the old-fashioned way. Up in the breathtaking Adelaida Hills of the Paso Robles wine region, MM Organics produces two types of products that are the best in their class. The first is their two-horse dessert wines, inspired by, you guessed it, their two beloved workhorses. These port-style wines are extraordinary, and right now, MM Organics has a limited supply of 14-year-old wines aged to perfection, and the price is a steal.
MM Organics also produces a wide selection of organic heirloom walnut products, from fair trade dark chocolate covered walnuts to world-class walnut oil, totally unique sprouted walnuts in several amazing flavors, and shelled walnuts, so rich and creamy, you may never buy pricey macadamia nuts again. You can purchase all their remarkable products and learn more about their dedication to purity and perfection at mmorganics.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio. And one point I forgot to mention is this. If we open up a bottle of wine and it's flat and flabby, you know, it doesn't have much character, doesn't have a lot of flavor, we go crazy. But I think that we don't realize, because we become so acclimated to our own cooking, that our cooking is really flat and flabby and not nearly as flavorful as it could be. And that's why I'm such a strong proponent of the things that I've been talking about. I wanted to tell you that for holiday meals, I use either the Instant Pot or the sous vide for absolutely everything. And I know you're saying, what about a turkey? What do you do on Thanksgiving? The answer is that I take a turkey, I cut it into quarters, I add seasoning and I add butter, I vacuum seal it in 2 or 4 bags depending on the size, and I put it in the sous vide kettle and I turn it on and I let it cook for, it's usually I think maybe a couple of hours, maybe 3 hours. It's probably half the time that it takes to cook a bird in the oven. And the crazy thing about it is so juicy that when you cut into it, you probably want to wear protective glasses because it's going to spray in your face. So juicy, so tender, so delicious. I have never had a better turkey. I know you can't put that beautiful bird on the table for the 30 seconds that you need for people to snap a couple of pictures of it. That's the downside. Just hand out pictures of a turkey or send around a PDF or something. But also, holidays where you're eating a roast, where you're eating rack of lamb, those really come out amazing. You can do filet mignon, any kind of meat that you can imagine, poultry, red meat or otherwise, will come out absolutely perfect, will be juicier than anything you've ever tasted, and will be more tender than anything that you've ever made. And with the kind of competition that you find in your kitchen during the holidays, I can't think of a better thing that you can do. Now, on to Easter. I have to say this, I hate ham. I just absolutely hate ham. I can't stand the flavor of it. And I wanted to, first of all, mention that if you're not in love with ham, try some of the other options that make really good sense. The first, and I think best, is rabbit. Cook up some, no, I'm kidding. That was just an Easter Bunny joke. No, any kind of lamb, whether it's leg of lamb or rack of lamb, I love those as an Easter alternative, and they are made so easy by using either of the methods that I just mentioned, which is the Instant Pot or the sous vide device. I definitely prefer the sous vide. The other thing that I love to cook is duck, and it is great in the sous vide. I've done it a couple of different times. It has come out perfect. I will say that I put it in the oven for just a few minutes to brown it. It's not that I'm against the oven. It's just I don't use it very much. I mean, why heat up the entire house? The other thing I like to substitute for ham, although you can have both, right? But what I like to substitute is a pork loin. You can do a pork roast, but I like pork loins better. They're kind of small, so you can cook up 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of them if you want. Something that I do is I will cut the pork loin open, butterfly it, and I will actually stuff it with a combination of chopped shrimp. Yes, I said shrimp, and the kind of breadcrumbs you would use for a stuffing. I take breadcrumbs and butter and some seasoning, garlic, salt, pepper, and the shrimp. I put it in the middle, and then I use cooking string to tie it shut. Then I will actually put it on the panini press and cook it, because it cooks really super fast. Now, you can cook it in a pan. That's fine. Pan searing, it works really well. And then I coat it with 100% apricot preserves. And I put those on toward the end, and then I let them caramelize. And then take the string off. When you cut it open, you know, inside it's got this combination of the breadcrumbs and the shrimp. It doesn't taste fishy, by the way, and it's delicious. If you don't feel good about putting shrimp in there, which I think you should try it, then just make up your stuffing recipe and put that in there, and it'll be perfect. And if you don't want to do that, then just coat it with the preserves, and it's going to be fantastic. It's still pork, right? Just like the ham, but it doesn't have that smoky, icky, sweet flavor. A recommendation that somebody made to me where the ham is concerned is to take the ham and really wash it clean. Wash off everything that the ham is coated with, and then do exactly what I suggested with the pork loin. And that is to, instead of using the glaze that sometimes comes with your ham or that you can buy separately, use fruit preserves like apricot or peach, and you can coat the ham with that instead, and it's going to taste a lot more palatable. I personally think you have to be very careful about what kind of ham you buy. I prefer, for people who don't like ham, the Black Forest ham. That's just a personal preference. Now, the other thing that you can do for the ham lovers in your family is you can have some fun with prosciutto, which is a ham that is uncooked, extremely popular here in Italy. And then also, you can't find it everywhere, but it's like prosciutto. It's called jabón, and it is extremely popular in Spain. It's not exactly like prosciutto. It tastes more like conventional American ham, but again, it is a cured product, but it's got a little smokier, more intense flavor to it. But that's something that you can also serve as a side dish. They make these sandwiches in Spain that are just to die for using this particular type of ham. It is so incredibly good. Really love it. So I am a conventional ham hater, and these are the options I can suggest to you. I hope you have a wonderful Easter dinner, and I have a list of kitchen essential ingredients that I feel very strongly about, and when we talk next, I'm going to share that with you. The other thing I want to tell you is I freeze everything that is going to go bad, and that mostly means vegetables. I have gone from throwing away 50% of the vegetables in my refrigerator to zero because I use 90% of them to make soups. And when I make soups with them, I like to use, instead of water, maybe a combination of broth and, get this, coconut milk. Coconut milk is great to make soups with, and that's one of the essentials that I always keep in my kitchen. But the main thing is I freeze everything because for soups especially, it doesn't matter whether it's mushy or wilted, you're going to blend it up anyway, and you're going to love it. All right, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. I hope you have found this enlightening and helpful. Put more flavor back in your food, or maybe it never was there to begin with, but you're going to be surprised how much flavor you discover in what you eat if you'll take David's helpful hints today. I do hope it helps. And please write me and let me know if you liked the advice you got. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters. We will see you back here next week. Today's edition of Grape Encounters has been brought to you by Total Wine and More. Find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More.